10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. It is fascinating to watch the YouTube comments. We got a lot of people watching on YouTube.
I'm not sure it's a great spot for you. If you're getting that upset about Devontae Wyatt,
No. I'm not that upset. I just want things accurately portrayed.
Okay.
I think the people of Muskego are a little riled up that
teams lost two in a row.
Yeah, Arrowhead Maguanago got us. Arrowhead got us. We're in a tough spot after being ranked number one. Got to bounce back.
That ESPN poll you and Semar are putting together put a big old target on Muskego. Next thing, I think the polling, the voters might be weighed a little too heavy towards Muskego. And next thing you know, expectations grow and Muskego's down. They'll probably still be number three with you two voting.
Tough to climb back up Mount Everest, I hear.
I tried to tell you, boys. Before we move to callers, Jason.
Okay.
Is Ja back?
I hate to be critical.
I'm not the decoy guy.
That was you. I would say this. I thought he had a very mixed bag in the first game, right? Went up against an elite receiver, had an interception, but also struggled. Obviously, last week against the Colts, not challenged a lot, not thrown at a lot. And then, obviously, yesterday he had the pick six. I think he's back to being the swagger, good teammate Ja.
He likes it. It looks like he likes it again.
I am hoping to get to chat with him in a less
one-on-one.
Yes, because it does appear that the love is he's found that love and feeling again.
It definitely feels like the Joe Barry component of this
was a big factor.
Yes, and we saw that, and I could not have been. And you know, he was a dominant player until that shoulder injury. And that shoulder injury a long time ago, and he has not been the same player. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not just some blind depoy guy, but that pick yesterday and what we've seen, you can tell. He likes the way this style goes. It gives him opportunities to go make plays, and he's doing it. He seems to be more of a willing tackler. I still don't know if he's the same, you know, hunter that he was when he prior to that shoulder injury. But it just, you have to love the way him and X are taking ownership and really playing at a pretty good level on that back end.
Matthew in the YouTube comments, I'm not going to rag on you guys. I appreciate your loyalty to the show, and you've kept it very positive. It was Jesse that depicted this group as like the Lord of the Flies, having its own show and being very negative. So I have not seen that yet, and when I do, I'll just click out of it.
Are we going to do a digi only? Are we doing any? We have those trading cards that I've been talking to you about, Jesse. Is that something we've accomplished yet?
I got Chrissy working on that. She's coming up with the trading cards this week.
Potentially we'll get something done then. All right, that's good.
We've got
Who's Chrissy going to delegate that to?
We haven't gotten to that step of training yet.
You got a little triangle. Boom, boom, boom. Go there. All right, Jason.
The calls? Waiting on hold for a while.
Yeah, get to the calls, Tausch.
Let's go. Yeah, you're running the show. Let's go.
Just waiting for more graphics to pop up randomly on your video feed. Let's go to Michael.
I think I'm hitting this button. Is that doing anything? Nope.
No. Why are you using your middle finger to push the buttons? It's like when I fix my glasses. Let's go to Michael on the east side of Milwaukee. Michael, you've held on for a very long time. Tell me how great Devontae Wyatt has been, or whatever it is you're calling him.
I don't have any comment on him. But an uneducated observer, we've had green package in my family since 1960. But one thing that hasn't been mentioned, and maybe yesterday by the announcers once or twice, but this year I think what I've been impressed by is the blocking by the wide receivers in addition to the blocking by the tight ends. I don't think other teams, we have this talented group, and I think they're really working. with each other, and I think that's very key to springing these wide out runs, the passing, and that's just my comment. I'll end with one other comment. I recall Tausch playing basketball at the Milwaukee Athletic Club many years ago. And Tausch, you had great footwork. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Rack him. Hey, rack him. He gets a speed pass. Show. Speed pass next time.
Michael,
he calls.
Michael, you could call anytime. Tausch would love to have you.
I would love for Michael. I'm going to see if he can't break down my tennis footwork next time. Michael's my guy.
How does someone with such great footwork have such disgusting feet?
It's a very interesting dynamic. Very interesting. And I don't have an answer for you on that.
They get a lot of work.
Yes, that's true. You jam your toes into the shoes. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. What were we talking about? What did Michael have to say besides my great footwork?
Just your great footwork.
All I can talk about is my great footwork. No, what was he talking about?
The wide receiver blocking.
So there's a couple of things with that. And I think Jaden Reed, I saw a couple of clips on Twitter this morning that were showing him finishing guys into the end zone. I think Christian Watson's been a very willing blocker as well. And I thought, you know, from Tucker Kraft's standpoint, I know he kind of bounced in and out of the game a little bit. Yes, I think he finished the game. He's fighting that shoulder. He's been really good on sealing edges and doing stuff. I think Tucker Kraft has got a chance to be a star in this league. And I think, unfortunately, and I'm not going to go negative with Musgrave, but he obviously got shoved into the backfield. He's not a great blocker.
He is not.
For whatever reason, it just feels like he is slipping down the totem pole as far as reps. And that's why it's very important to keep Tucker Kraft healthy, because this offense is humming. I think a big part of it is that what the tight ends can do in that boot game and sealing the corners and giving edges. And then that run after the catch with what Tucker's been able to do has been phenomenal. So I think that's been a very surprising. You think, well, there's two guys and they're going to rise up together and you're going to have this. Tucker has surpassed Musgrave in all phases, including the pass game, which I didn't think I'd be seeing this early in his career. But that's where we're at.
So speaking of comps then.
Oh God. You're gonna go back to this?
I'm gonna ask you if you've come around a little bit on that, because I talked to your boy Jason Eck last week and
he squeaked out a win this weekend. Not one of his that was kind of a grinder.
Abilene Christian's a tough road matchup though.
Spent too much time talking to you.
We talked for 6 minutes. Because I am respectful of his time.
Basking in the glory days of almost beating Oregon for getting to prepare for Abilene Christian.
No, now Eck would tell you about his old – he was an elbow jumper guy at the Shell. That was his deal.
Or is he looking for houses in Gainesville?
What's in Gainesville?
His next job, potentially.
No, he's going to Minnesota. He's going to be a goalie.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah. Fleck almost fired himself Saturday night.
Well, he's doing a good job.
All right, be that as it may, Tucker Kraft – is playing fantastic football. My question for you, so we can get to more calls, is can Luke Musgrave reverse this and become a better blocker? If we're talking about young players who need to be given grace periods, that is an area that he is not good enough in. Sorry, that's the critique. And his playing time would indicate such. Is that something that he can get moving in a positive direction on and get better at, or is he most likely just going to be who he is?
I mean, you can always improve and get better. I don't know. The question I have is he shown enough in the pass game to continue to get a ton of reps? Because it's a competitive dog-eat-dog world in this personnel groupings. You have guys that are scrapping. Dontavian Wicks, I don't know when Demoski puts his snap count thing out, I'll be curious to see where that rep count is with those four wideouts. Because every time you take one of those guys off to put Musgrave in, are you getting better as we sit here right now? And then how is he going to get better if he's not getting that work? You get what I'm saying? It's a chicken and egg deal.
No doubt. All right, I want to get some more calls, but since you want your playtime percentages, here they are.
Okay. The wide receivers, they had 63 offensive snaps yesterday.
All right.
All five,
average, a little bit
all
less.
Five offensive linemen played all 63 snaps.
Yep, yep. Yep,
the wide receivers, Romeo Doubs, 46.
Okay.
Jaden Reed, 36. Christian Watson, 34. Dontavion Wicks, 29. Bo Melton, 17. Malik Heath, 11. Okay.
I'll tell you what, they're doing a really good job of mixing and matching.
I have a story I want to write about how they're getting everybody involved and getting guys playing time and the value of that. Now, tight end snaps. Tucker Kraft, who left with a shoulder injury and came back, and he wore a red non-contact jersey throughout the weekend practice. That makes me a little nervous that he left with a shoulder injury.
Okay.
But he came back. He played 42 snaps. Luke Musgrave played 35, so about 56% of the snaps. Ben Sims played 2. So those are your wide receiver and tight end snap counts.
I don't feel, you feel like, and again, it's a small sample size. It's early in the career. You can go through all of these caveats. But Luke Musgrave's reps have not as impactful as what Tucker Kraft's have been. And I don't think you would say his reps have been more impactful than anyone of those five or six wideouts that you mentioned. I don't feel, what did Musgrave from an impact standpoint? The only thing I remember from yesterday was the, you know, he was basically bully balled back into the running back on a carry that lost 4 or 5 yards. I don't know if there was, maybe I'm missing something.
He had one catch for 3 yards.
Yeah, it's just, so we have to figure out ways to get him more involved and get his confidence back up, because I'm sure at this point right now, he's looking at this and seeing what Tucker's doing and everything else. And you could say, well, block out all the noise, don't worry about it, but that's not reality. And he's one guy that I think you'd like to see start chipping away at gaining some confidence back, because it's not there right now.
All right. Georgian, Delton, Tom, Spencer,
Delton.
Jeff.
Did you say Delton or
that's
Dalton?
What it says here. Delton in Minnesota. He's on
home.
Ooh,
yeah. Delton, yeah.
Delton.
Lake Delton. Delton, Darren Delton.
Delta Burke.
No.
Delton Burke.
Tell us about Fortrea so we can get to the calls next.
Well, if you're looking for a little cash and you want to get some of those sweet tickets at Lambeau, or you want to go on vacation, you want to come out and hang out in California, Fortrea's got you covered. A couple of different studies. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32 study. 2 stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-up visits. Grab yourself $13,820 for your time and participation. Another $300 per qualified participant. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
All right. I want to apologize to everyone that's on hold. There's 6 of you waiting.
We're going
to
plow
I am sorry for that.
Segments. We're plowing.
We also wasted a lot of time on Chuck, who's getting raked over the coals a little bit in the comments in the YouTube channels as well. We will get to your calls. I promise. And I keep my promises. Next, it's Will Dean Zausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Let's get to your calls right away, forthwith. 844-770-3776. Let's start with Georgian in Florida, who has been waiting a really, really long time. Sorry, Georgian. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You're lucky I can multitask and work and listen to the show at the same time.
We are. I am very thankful for your multitasking skills. Thank you.
So my positive was the burst that I saw out of Emmanuel Wilson, and I was so excited to see him to get his first career touchdown in that game. Mm-hmm. I know Jacobs is like the number one, but it's nice to see that we have a solid number two behind him.
Mm-hmm. I am encouraged
and then my
by
negative,
I would agree with you.
Yeah. And then my negative, which you guys touched on, were the penalties. It seemed like every time there was a flag, I was like, yep, it's going to be against us. And LaFleur is not going to be happy with this. So.
Georgianne, are you worried that this will not get fixed, though? Because as I pointed out earlier, Matt LaFleur does not have a history of being heavily penalized. We love Mike McCarthy, Big Mike, on this show. But Big Mike had a lot of teams that had a lot of penalties, and they overcame them. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about it lingering? Because Tausch is not, correct, Tausch?
I am not, no.
No, I'm not concerned with it. I figure, like you guys had talked about, that they're getting used to Jacob's running style. And I think in time, I would say within the next week or two, if not sooner, they'll get it under control. Okay. They just need to keep running the ball and listening to LaFleur and the rest of the team to make sure that they're doing their jobs.
Hey, Georgianne, before you go, how surprised are you about what Malik Willis has been able to do?
I'm surprised. I mean, okay, there's no lying about it, because picking up a quarterback right at the deadline and him not knowing the system, my concern was, how much is he going to know? Mm-hmm. Especially after that one snap in San Paulo where he got sacked. So it was initially a little concerning, but after last week against the Colts, I was like, okay, I think he can do this. So now, with that said, I really hope that Love is back for the Vikings next week.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not, then I think we still have a chance.
All right, last question for Tausch's benefit. What time is it in Florida?
Oh, God.
I was going to say it that.
Don't do that.
It is 11:30 in the morning where I'm at. But there are parts of Florida that are on your time zone.
Don't do it, Georgianne. Wait, don't get me more mixed
Pacific
up. I don't,
time?
I don't need more confusion in my life.
Thanks for the call, Georgianne. We appreciate you.
But now I'm kind of curious. Is it Fort Myers, like the west
no,
side?
No, we're not getting bogged
side?
Down. That was purely for
you
comedic
did
effect.
We'll, you did
we'll
it.
Do the research. Let Chrissy do the research. Jesse's good at delegating.
Right.
Let's get to another call. This is the person you wanted to hear from because you're intrigued by the name.
Love it.
I thought it was a typo at first, but it's been repeatedly typed this way. So, Delton in Minnesota. Delton, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. I'm doing well. And yourselves?
Well, we're excited to have you. Explain, can you tell us the story behind Delton?
So I guess so in the 70s, now this isn't coming from me, it was pretty popular for people, I guess, to name their children after, you know, the hippie culture, after the spot where they were conceived. And I don't know. That's not the story, but I'm just saying, you know, there is a Lake Delton in Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know.
A lot of questions there, Delton. I ain't going to lie to you. A lot of questions.
Whoa, Nelly!
I guess, hey, Delton, give Jesse your info. Jesse will do a digi only with you.
We'll schedule an exclusive interview in May when we're in the down season.
Keep it real. Keep it real.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, boy, I'm so glad I asked. Delton, what do you got for us?
Who would have guessed that's where
so,
that
yeah,
was going
to go? Yeah, man, so, listen, I wanted to give you guys your flowers on beating the Colts and the Titans. You know, I think their combined record is like 1-5 as we speak, you know. Okay. You know, congratulations on that.
No, like, for real.
I'm liking this call already.
Please, not that guy. So, like, the reason why I'm calling is, you know, I'm trying to get y'all to, of course, dry snitch a little bit on yourselves here, tell on yourselves. From what I'm seeing and hearing is there seems to be smoke and mirrors going on with Malik Willis in the lineup and a lot of, like, misdirection, screen passes, short routes called. And I heard the gentleman before Julie, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the tight end blocking and the wide receiver blocking downfield. Is that something you guys see as sustainable? Is this offense you guys are running? Is that, like, why are you running so far outside the line of scrimmage? You know, is there problems with your offensive line, or do the Vikings present a defensive scheme mismatch for you guys with them playing three safeties on the field constantly? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get into it. Yo, long live Sterling Sharp, baby. 84. Love that dude with the strap on the helmet. Oh, my God. I grew up watching that guy. Oh, he used to piss me off.
Is this? So what? Are we being punked?
What was that?
I like it.
So wait, but
he's not punked. He wants the scouting report.
I don't know if he's a Viking fan. Like, I can't get a real great.
Yeah, is he like?
Sounds like he's
behind
a Vikings
enemy lines. Is
maybe
that
a little bit?
We've been running the North for decades, man.
You're talking about Green Bay, like, right? You're talking about the Packers
in the standings.
I've lost control.
No, I'm talking about Minnesota. Minnesota actually has more division titles than Green Bay does. If I'm not mistaken.
I think you're mistaken.
Not as many Super Bowl titles, though, for sure.
I think you're mistaken, and I don't think we had a Julia call. So, there have been a couple of mistakes on this. Thanks for your call, Dalton, and I really do want you and Jesse to break down the name and whatever else.
Jesse's going to do a podcast with him.
So I don't comprehend. I think he's trying to say it's all kind of tricky and gimmicky stuff. That's not the case.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I think if you want to say that there was some different formations and you're using a bunch of motions and things, yeah, your guy up in Minnesota does that too. Okay, O'Connell's done a really good job. He's doing
that.
It's called coaching, and it's called trying to, find matchups and doing things. That's called good football, and I know Minnesotans, they've had some average football. They've had really bad football, and they've never won a championship. All of those things can be true. Minnesota, I think, is the biggest surprise team in the NFL right now that they're at this point. I don't know who they've beat. I think they've beaten San Fran. It's not like they've deserved the credit that they're getting. I think for losing McCarthy, which was the best thing that happened to McCarthy and probably the Vikings as a whole, giving him some time to learn. And I know he's out with an injury, but Sam Darnold has a good group of offensive linemen. They have good weapons and they're playing good. I can say, as a Packer fan, they're playing good football. It's going to be a heck of a test Sunday afternoon at Lambeau. But I would bet that if Jordan Love is healthy, the Green Bay Packers will be favored, and they should beat the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. They don't need smoke. They don't need mirrors. They don't need yo-yos. Yo. That's just not where it's at. The Green Bay Packers are a better football team.
What is happening right now?
Well, no, he dropped a lot of yos.
Yes, I know.
So I'm going to yo-yo back.
A lot of yos.
Yo-yo Ma.
You got to yo-yo back. There's no yo. You don't just do a one-way yo. You got to yo-yo the yo. And the yo-yo is Green Bay is a much better franchise. And old boy knows that. He knows. That's why he called and is trying to get a rise out of everybody.
He was definitely stirring the pot. Yo Ma. All right, we need to get to more.
I do have to say, hey, we're giving Dalton a fast pass if the Vikings win next week. If they win. If they lose, he's banned from the show next week. Fair?
Sure.
Real make or break game for Dalton here in week Dalton's four.
He put it out there. I respect that. You put it out there.
I'd be curious to know if he's even going to tune in if the Packers beat the Vikings. But
getting word on the text line, he's pretty active in the YouTube chat. So maybe he's a Vikings fan, but he really enjoys our show, I guess.
That's nice. Great. We love them all.
Speaking of the YouTube chat, George Ann checks in, apparently tuned in there where she's multitasking, that there are parts of the panhandle where they are in the central time zone.
Yeah, I wonder if that's Pensacola. I'm just curious, on the coast, you go down, and I don't know if the Fort Myers, Naples area, if that's...
No, I think that's Eastern time. Yeah, and she's in Cocoa Beach, in case you were wondering. All right, we need to get to more of your calls. We banged out a couple of those, but we've got plenty more still on hold. So if you're there, stay there. We will get to you coming up next. Want to remind you that you know already, because I tell you all the time, that Fleet Farm's got everything you need for your everyday life. But did you know they also have the best prices? Guaranteed. Any day, every day, from household essentials to power tools and more, you won't find better deals. Shop the best prices guaranteed today, both in-store and online at fleetfarm.com. And whether you own a cat, a dog, or both, or six of one and two of the other, plus four hamsters, Fleet Farm is your place to find all their everyday essentials. Shop top brands like Purina and Science Diet for food, treats, and more for all of your four-legged friends. Get all your everyday pet essentials at the best prices at Fleet Farm. More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
So Delton has departed the phone lines and dove straight into the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. So if you're among the 410 folks that are watching on YouTube, you are now enjoying his brand of whatever
it is. Hey, Jason,
is there
any Viking fan that would not swap what the where the Packers are at compared to the Minnesota Vikings? I know somebody claimed the division titles since like 1974. Since 95, it's been Packers Route City. But is there anybody – like, I mean
– they've never won a championship.
I understand. So, of course, they won. But I just – it's got to be tough being a Viking. It really does. It's got to be tough because you know there's always that back trump card that you can just slap down on the table and say, nah, you guys just have never won anything.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
The Vikings definitely ran the North from 1970 to 78.
Bud Grant, Tommy Kramer.
Yes, which, again, I don't know how old Delton is or when he was conceived since we went down that road in our conversation.
Was that Fran? I don't know when Fran was there. That
yes,
was
Fran Tarkenton. Time. Yes, he was there during
when
that
era.
When
was Tommy Kramer? I thought Tommy Kramer was there.
I think Tommy Kramer was a little bit later. But be that as it may, we want to get to more calls. As much as Delton has thrown us for a bit of a loop during today's program, there's a lot of nice people that have been waiting on hold. Let's get to them. Starting with Tom in North Carolina. Tom, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show. How about those Panthers with the big win yesterday?
I know it. I was I should have picked them in my pick'em pool. I thought maybe switching it up there, unscouted looks and all. But of course I didn't pick them. But
Andy Dalton better than Dalton in Minnesota, am I right?
I feel like Andy Dalton's quite scouted actually.
There you go.
All right, what do you got, Tom? Sorry.
Well, anyway, yes, thank you for taking my call this morning. I got a couple of positives, but I did want to throw a negative in there before you let me go. But first with the positives, that had to be sweet for Malik Willis to go back and experience that yesterday. So that was just, I feel like, a big positive. I'm sure he was very classy in his response and his interviews and everything, but you know he had to enjoy every minute of that one. So yeah, that was pretty sweet. Another one I'll throw out there, the screen pass that old boy took in. That reminded me of some previous Packer teams, the way that screen play developed, and doesn't seem like they have been running them that well
they had not
recently, but That was pretty sweet. The negative I wanted to throw out there, I don't know if this one's been brought up yet, but towards the end of the game, Jaden Reed seemed like he got a little hot under the collar there on one of those passes that maybe just didn't come off right. And so I was a little bit surprised with the way the game went and how it's actually been going the past 2 weeks. To see some, frustrations boiling over with him. So I'm kind of curious, what that will end up like down the road or how that's going to go.
So, Tom, Tom, I'm glad you brought that up because I noticed that too, and then I forgot about it because I did want to address it with Tausch because he's obviously been on the sideline before during his 11-year career and got under – he probably got hot under the collar, to use Tom's phrase. Thanks for the
Certainly.
Call, Tom.
Yep.
But it was interesting because –
Before we get that, I want to just make sure we mention with Tom that screen pass, which was just a beautiful design,
mm-hmm.
pulling Elgton Jenkins to bring the linebackers over to the right, pumping it to the right, and then Josh Myers leaks out, and everybody crushes Josh Myers all the time. You know, he pukes on a ball. You know, last year, obviously, we discussed him a lot with Brian. Great kick out, and that set the tone for that big play. That was not an easy block. You put a big dude out in space on a little guy. It's not always, oh, he's going to crush him because he's not trying to get blocked. He was able to do that. You want to look at the beautiful design of plays. Go back and look at that play and how it was executed to a T. Okay, what do you got, Jason?
So to Tom's point about Jaden Reed getting irritated, and I'm glad you went back on that screen pass because that was really not only well-designed but well-executed. But they showed him later, and he and Malik Willis, God, I do that once a show, kind of like missing a kick once a game. He and Malik Willis on the sideline were chopping it up afterward, and they seemed fine. But in the moment, he showed frustration, which, you know, we certainly got after Aaron Rodgers for doing that too frequently. But you played this game. That happens, right? Like, something does not go well. You take a hit that you're not expecting because of the way the ball came out or when it came out, and you get a little irritated. It's hard to contain that. But what did you think when you saw that reaction from Jaden Reed? Because Tom's right. It's been a lot of kumbaya, and it's a lot different than Rodgers yelling at receivers. And here was an instance where a receiver got ticked off at the quarterback. Not to the degree of CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott yesterday, but certainly there was a little emotion there.
Yeah, I look at it almost the exact opposite, that it's a positive and not a negative. Things get hot, right? I mean, that stuff happens in football. And my first thing was, why is he mad? And I think it was because he threw a ball that led him into potentially getting killed.
Correct.
I think that's what he was mad about.
Mm-hmm.
And why I feel great about that is, at that point, Green Bay had the game in hand. It was not like a rap city. Emotions get hot and guys get tense and, you know, things get fun when it's a tight game. When you have that same energy, when you're ahead big and you're that attention to detail, because it's real easy to say, oh, that's funny. Oh. That was not the case. There is a pursuit of perfection, pop, if you will. And that is something coaches try to get. They want. And when you have your players doing that at the end of games, like Nick Saban would scream at his quarterback, I had 63-7. And you'd be like, what the hell's wrong with Nick Saban? Because it wasn't about the scoreboard. It's about this guy pursuing of perfection, popping. And that is what you saw yesterday. And I think that's a great sign. So while Tom can think that's a negative, and I understand why, you want your guys to be kumbaya. You want your guys pushing your other teammates to chase that same perfection, even when it's a game in hand or dagger in hand. And I look at that on the complete flip side. That is holding guys accountable in pursuit of perfection.
Yeah, I know Joshy DiMaggio, who's producing in the Gruber Law Offices, one call that's all studios in Milwaukee, thought the same thing. After Malik Willis then comes off the field, before he's talking to Reed, he is met by Matt LaFleur, and they both were, you could clearly see that they were both discussing the play, and Malik Willis was making like hand signals of, oh, I thought he was going this way, or I thought I was supposed to do this. I think it was one moment where a guy who seemingly has run everything as designed made the wrong read or the wrong decision or whatever it was. And if that's the only time that he's made a big mistake and it was largely a non-factor in the game, that's pretty darn good when we again think about the brief time that that guy's been a member of the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, it shows the culture of pursuit of perfection. That's
pop.
What that shows to me.
Yeah, pop.
Yeah,
I'm not to be confused with
I really think I really think that Pop has got some staying power on this show.
No, I don't think it does.
You don't think Pop does?
No, what I do think has staying power are the people that are still on hold who are waiting to be on the program. Those people would be Spencer in Minnesota, who I would predict will not be like Delton in Minnesota.
Guy. No, he is not a Viking guy.
Then Jeff in Milwaukee. So we'll get to their two calls to wrap up calls next. Then we'll get to the inundation of text messages that Jesse has gotten that he's trying to sort through. I'm sure he's delegated that work to Chrissy because Lord knows he doesn't want to do all that work. So we'll get to those two calls, then we'll do texts at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, and then we'll play some trivia after that. So be ready with your text messages if you've had some thoughts you haven't gotten in yet. 844-770-3776. I don't know if Pop has staying power, but Associated Bank has staying power. They've been around as long as the Packers have been, and they've been a partner of the show from the very beginning. And that's what's great about Associated Bank is they've got staying power because of their great customer service, because of everything they offer their customers, Packers checking, Badger checking, Brewers checking, and Early Pay, where you can have access to your money up to 2 days early with direct deposit from your employer. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more about all of those things. AssociatedBank.com. Associated Bank, your money works here. More of your calls and texts as we roll on after the Packers beat the Titans in Tennessee for the first time in history. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's get to a couple more calls, and then I'll tell you what. We bet sweet glasses, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Delton. Conceived in Lake Delton, yo. We will get to Ricardo, who gets special treatment around here in the 11 o'clock hour. But two loyal callers have been waiting. Let's start with Spencer in Minnesota. Spencer, thanks for hanging on. I bet they're all excited up there in Minnesota about their 3-0 Vikings there.
Yeah, school.
Yeah, I'm sure. I actually live in Eagan. In the fall, you can see the Vikings training facility from my backyard, so it makes it even
It's a lovely facility.
Better.
But, it is very nice. Nice spot. Yeah, TCO.
Yeah. Positives, negatives. I'll start with negatives. It's probably a dumb one, but Rashawn Gary, we're getting 8 sacks. I know he had the one that got called back, and 7 different players had a sack at least mark a half one. It's crazy that Rashawn Gary wasn't at least one of them. I'm sure he affected the game with pressures and everything too, but it just feels like he's always been somewhere between Nick Perry and Clay Matthews, and we're kind of hoping for him to be that game wrecker that we've had in the past. Positives, I mean, it just has to be the offensive coaching staff. It's just, it almost feels like there's this transitional period in the NFL right now where offensive head coaches are almost more valuable than quarterbacks. You wonder if, like, there's going to be some shift in how these guys are getting paid, where you're seeing guys like Andy Dalton and Jared Goff and, you know, Malik Willis being very competent quarterbacks, which is something, you know, usually backups don't hop in and be some of the better performers of the given week. But and it makes me think, you were talking earlier, Wildy, about the whole offensive coaching staff and the game plans and everything. And this time a year ago, we were all really worried about the coaching staff, how the offense looked. And I want to hear this from you. So we never really got a clear answer, I think, publicly, because, you know, the receivers were kind of on different pages last year when everything was struggling. Deno midseason was talking about how there was a lot of tough conversations that went on, and obviously the second half of the year, the offense looked great. The only change this offseason was Jason Vrabel being, what, the pass game coordinator. Was he demoted, or was it just kind of moving guys around? Because it Matt doesn't like focusing on negatives, and it seems like he's trying to stay away from talking about that.
No, so I don't know exactly what happened, but I think here's what happened. Because Jason Vrabel still has the passing game coordinator title, which he had last year as well. But he's not the wide receivers coach in terms of his title. But I think they just wanted to keep Ryan Mahaffey on the staff. And so he still sits in all the wide receiver meetings like he would if he was the coordinator or was the wide receivers coach and not the coordinator. But he's just sitting back and allowing Ryan Mahaffey to run it. So I think there's a feeling in the building that he's kind of their next up-and-coming coach. And he will probably be gone after the season to get a coordinator job for someone else would be my guess with Jason Vrabel. But I think it's a good point that Spencer brings up about the tough conversations, because I remember that being said too. I don't know what those consisted of, but I will say this. I go back to what Matt LaFleur said about Jordan Love needing to let it rip, and then the mm-hmm. conversation I had with him about the idea of the play caller needing to let it rip. And once he did that, Jordan Love played a lot better. So I think that was probably part of that
discussion. So Jason Wilde telling Matt LaFleur to let it rip.
I changed it all around. Yeah, that was my. No, he's the one who let it rip.
Jason, I'm going to post this out. I know we have another caller to get to before the break. What are you more impressed with? Which side of the ball, offensive staff or defensive staff, through these first 3 weeks?
I would say the offensive staff, because of what they've done with Malik Willis. I would say that the defensive staff, as Chris and Muskego would tell you, had talent on that side of the ball.
You think they've played crappy teams too?
I think that they have now begun running a system that fits their talent better, and I think it plays to their strengths.
So that's why I'm asking which is which.
I already answered. I said the offense. Okay. Still
asked and answered, Your Honor. Okay.
Let's go to Jeff in Milwaukee before Tausch takes over the last segment of the 10 o'clock hour again. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, how are you guys doing? So two things. I got positive and negative. And then I have a question for each one of you, if you don't mind, because
sure.
I'd like your thoughts
well,
on
Well,
I
it. Do mind.
So I the, don't. Oh, well. Oh, thank you, Tausch. So,
I feel good about it.
Anyways. Yeah. Hey, so the positives are obviously Matt LaFleur's play calling combined with Malik Willis. I mean, the one thing is, you know, Malik Willis, you know what his Wonderlic score was?
I don't.
32. The guy's not, he's a bright dude. He's a smart guy. So, I mean, you know, and you can say what you want about the Wonderlic, but it was a very high score. So you got to give credit to both of them. And just a great job. I agree with you, Jason. I'm more impressed with the offensive coaching at this point just because we played two teams that don't have good offenses. Once we're able to put a defensive performance together like that against, like, the Vikings or a team with a good offense, then I'll be sold on them. So my negative is, and you guys touched on this, Luke Musgrave, it looks like he's lost. He's lost out there, and I hope he figures it out. He never breaks a tackle. He in the opening game in Brazil, you know, it was basically made very clear that although Love threw the interception, Musgrave ran the wrong route. So he's I don't know whether it's a matter of lack of commitment or what, but he's got talent, but he's got to figure it out. So that's my negative. So this is a question I have for each one, a different question for each one, Jason. In the call yesterday, or on the show, you had talked about it being very murky about Love and whether he was going to play and all that. And you brought in the fact that first LaFleur says, well, it's up to him, and then he doesn't play. And then, you know, people saying, well, if it was Rodgers or Favre, they would have played. Were you insinuating that there was a toughness issue with Love, or you just didn't like how the whole thing was communicated?
Great question.
It is a great question. It is definitely not. I don't understand how they've kind of handled this publicly. It is definitely not a critique. I think after that I followed up by saying that if I was Jordan Love, I would not risk it and become the next Teddy Bridgewater, who appeared to have a bright future and then got wrecked by a series of injuries. I am not going out there if I am compromised if my knee is not going to be stable and I could suffer an even more catastrophic knee injury. Now, that said, what I thought was odd was that the narrative shifted from he's got to be cleared, he's got to be cleared, he's got to be cleared by the medical staff, to when I asked Matt LaFleur on Friday how much of Jordan Love playing is up to Jordan, and he said a lot of it is up to Jordan, and then he worked out. I don't know what the thought process is with the conversation that has occurred around his availability, because it feels like to me that they've put it out there that it was up to Jordan on whether he would play or not. That was the way it sounded on Thursday and Friday from Steno and LaFleur, which is not the same as what it had been earlier, which was he's got to be cleared medically. And when LaFleur was asked on Friday after practice, has he been medically cleared to play in the game?
Great question by whoever asked that.
And he nodded his head and said, we're working through that. And then was asked, does the nod mean he's been cleared? And he then did not move his head and said, we're working through that. What does that mean? Like, is that a yes? Is that a no? Like, either he's been cleared as of the moment you're being asked, or he has not been cleared. Right. No, not yet. Or yes, he has, but he has to feel comfortable. Whatever it is, that's what I meant by murky. Mm-hmm. And I do think when you say those things publicly, and that was my point about some of the dads on the sideline of Sid's soccer game, who were wondering, well, Rodgers would have played. The nameless quarterback who Tausch may or may not have talked to, who famously said, you don't know what you can play through until you do it. Mm-hmm. He would have played. Yeah, and I just think that that puts your quarterback in a spot where you're not your job as a coach, as great as Matt LaFleur has been with
just
these
leave
last
it up to
two
the
days.
Doctors. Leave it up to the doctors.
Yeah, don't. You just left it a little bit murky, and I don't think it helped your quarterback. That's what I felt.
Well, we'll see. Jesse, make sure you have the tape for the day after that Brazil game when I told Jason that he's going to play against the Minnesota Vikings, and Jason poo-pooed me. Because I think he's going to play this week.
The day after Brazil was a Saturday, so I don't know if we did a show there.
I said the show after, the Monday. I think you knew
I don't know. Check the tape. I think you said the day after
Brazil. No tape from that Saturday, old T. You were on the Badger game, South Dakota.
Y'all are kind of annoying today. Actually, yeah, I guess that's true. Y'all are kind of annoying today. Maybe it's this West Coast time that's making you more annoying.
Maybe it's the piano you're sitting at.
Got any graphics you can put on the screen for how you're feeling about us right now?
Yeah, I'd like to. They got a bird? Hey, Birdsall, you got a bird that we can put up?
Hey, Birdsall.
Dirty. Right.
I think Jeff had a question for you, and we've just moved on from that. So
well, it's 10 after 11. So
we're not really on a lot of time.
Look at me knowing math and time zones. Coming around. By the time I figure it out, I'll be leaving. That's the goofy part of it.
Did you figure out what time kickoff is on Saturday out there yet? Because that got announced.
Yeah, I want to say I'll be there. It's like noonish. I think it's noonish out here.
Could you just tell us about AmFam so we can all move on?
I will. Packer fans looking for the ultimate game day experience. AmFam has you covered. Picture this, hitting your very own VIP tailgate and then cheering on your Green Bay Packers from jaw dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. That sounds incredible. Yeah, it does. Don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/packers to enter today. Make sure you enter by the, what do I always say, the crack of midnight? That's what it is.
Stroke of midnight. And it's 11:59.
Of midnight on October 21st. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
Biggest adjustment I've had to make is with Chrissy learning how to run the show. I can't say, yes, sir, when I'm ready. I have to say, yes, ma'am. We have a call that we're going to get to start the 11 o'clock hour, and then we're going to play trivia because Jesse makes up his own rules. And when Ricardo, our favorite Portuguese-Canadian correspondent, calls, he gets to jump into the line. So we'll talk to him, and then we'll play trivia. That's all still ahead in the 11 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.